Hag Sukkot Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Reverend Sheila Crawford, your fervent studier of God's Word. And thank you for tuning in to another solo study as we finish up the Feast of Tabernacles on its eighth and final day to this especially now very joyous feast. And by the way, the exact night on the Hebrew calendar, Tishri 23, 2 years ago, is when Hamas brutally attacked Israel, slaughtering 1,200 Israelis that began at sundown in Israel. And Tabernacles will finish tomorrow at sundown Israeli time, which is 7 hours ahead of us. And please continue to keep Dan in your prayers as he, praise the Lord, was able to leave the hospital to give his daughter away at her big wedding last weekend, and that I officiated at as well. But on Monday, Dan was readmitted, still fighting a pancreatic abscess, and then we pray will be eliminated this week as God has arranged for some new, more expert physicians who are now in charge through the clinic. Cleveland Clinic. But as always, our faith and complete trust resides in our Savior, as I'm sure it does with all of you, because many Christians are being tested these days, and we will pass our tests. Anyhow, plan on some good news next week, and now let's honor our Lord. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe, who provides all our needs. We do honor you and thank you, Lord, for the greatest gift of all, our salvation. For it's your joy that gives us our strength to defy the enemy and focus on you alone as we anxiously await your soon coming kingdom. We thank you for the return of the hostages and pray continued victories over Hamas and their other enemies. We also lift up to you our recent prayer requests and for the salvation of all our loved ones. We thank you, Jehovah Jireh, for granting us all our needs as we pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, we are on day 8 of Tabernacles till sundown tomorrow on the Hebrew lunar calendar. And we will finish our Sukkot study tonight by detailing the importance of the seventh and also the eighth day of this feast. And let me say once again that all serious Bible students must have some knowledge of these important events because without any doubt, they are the connecting bridge to understanding correct eschatology. And talk about this season of joy. What an historic day it was yesterday. After 738 days, that nightmare is over. And actually, for the first time since 2014, there are now no living Israeli hostages in the Gaza Strip. Unfortunately, only 4 so far of the 28 dead hostages have been located, but they are aggressively pursuing that. In fact, just came in, Hamas did release 4 more bodies a few hours ago. So meanwhile, Israel will not reopen the Rafah crossing and is limiting aid because of Hamas' failure to return all 28 of the dead bodies, which are very important to those Israeli families, so to give them a proper burial. And by the way, Israel, as part of the agreement, did release almost 2,000 prisoners in exchange for the hostages. That's a lot. Also, today Israel transferred 45 dead bodies of Hamas operatives kept in refrigerated containers, with more coming. And that's, of course, in accordance with the formula stipulating that 15 bodies are returned for each deceased Israeli hostage. And although number 19 of Trump's 20-point plan does touch on the issue of a two-state solution, right now the talks are all about rebuilding Gaza, of which a 15 pre-selected and approved by Israel Palestinian technocrats have been selected to administer post-war Gaza, to supervise and take care of the daily lives of those Palestinians remaining in Gaza as phase two has begun, where Hamas should be giving up all its weapons. My question is, who will be in charge of that? And by making sure that they don't hide any, because you know they're going to try. And I heard today that Hamas has killed some 37 Palestinian collaborators in Gaza, calling them traitors. So Netanyahu is taking his deserved victory lap and appears to be testing the political winds with the prospect of turning renewed public support into an early election victory this year, before the enthusiasm possibly dwindles by waiting till next October 27th. He also does need to win more Knesset seats, because right now he's governing in the minority. So we'll soon see, but my guess, he will call for early elections. What do you think? So the Russian-Ukrainian war continues, with the Ukrainian emphasis on Russia's oil refineries and with Russia hitting back on Ukraine's energy infrastructure. Total casualties are approaching 2 million combined on both sides. War is so ugly. And that war will be Trump's next focus, without a doubt. But then there is also China, who President Trump says, beginning November 1st, will increase tariffs on all their tech imports. However, Trump will meet with Xi before that in South Korea in hopes of ending these trade wars. And interesting is the statement made by the Chinese embassy when they said that threatening with high tariffs is not the right way to deal with China, close quote. But we really do need China for its rare earth minerals. Oh, not that we don't have the minerals, because we do. But it's the refineries and processing plants that we are short on, which at one time was sufficient. But now, with so much more high tech and the fact that some of our refineries moved to China in the 90s due to economics and ridiculous environmental regulations, so therefore China now dominates the global market. Yes, of course, Trump is incentivizing companies to come back and build more refineries here, but it will take years to get up and running. And don't forget, 90% of all our pharmaceuticals come from China as well. So we'll see what happens at this meeting, because we still have ways to leverage and dangle a few carrots. All right, then. You can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please consider a love offering, especially now, to help with our expenses. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived. So you can re-listen and take some more study notes. You know, repetition is the best memory facilitator. Okay, as we pointed out over the last 2 weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles goes by many descriptive phrases, as in the waving of the lulav, Feast of All Nations, House of the Water Pouring, Feast of Dedication, and Feast of Lights, which was explained in detail. As well, according to Zechariah 14:16, the Feast of Tabernacles must be celebrated by all in our soon coming kingdom in Jerusalem, or no rain on their homeland. So obviously, especially over hundreds of years, there will be other nations in the Messianic kingdom as well. And we know that Egypt is specifically named. So actually, look how fast the population grew after the flood. And that was with only 8 people. And there'll be thousands of humans from the tribulation to repopulate in his new kingdom. Especially since Isaiah 65 says, they shall not labor in vain. In other words, in no pain. And their children will not cause any trouble. How sweet is that? All right, so I teased you a little last week in saying that tonight I would share a great gold nugget. First of all, the seventh day of Tabernacles, which was yesterday, is also called Hosanna Rabbah, meaning salvation now. But on the first day of Sukkot, they were judged as to how much rain would fall in the upcoming year. Then on Hosanna Rabbah, the seventh day of Sukkot, this judgment is finalized. Now, considering how much of our own well-being and economy depends on bountiful rainfall, it is clear how important this day is to Israel. After all, it is in a desert. You know, I remember the time I was in Israel and being happy that it hadn't rained because we were outside every day touring. Well, an Israeli woman overheard me say it to my friend and immediately scolded me because rain was a blessing to them and no rain was a punishment. I sure learned a good lesson that day. Okay, let's place ourselves back in Jesus' day on the seventh day of Sukkot. For that morning, the Jews had just been in the temple reading out of Jeremiah the traditional scripture on the seventh day of Sukkot. Because it does complement the ceremony surrounding the living water that Jeremiah refers to in this scripture, which I will read in a minute. But first, let me recall to you this interesting episode that happened right after that temple service, as recorded in John chapter 8. Remember about the woman caught in adultery that was brought to Jesus, and the Pharisees said she should be stoned? But they wanted Yeshua's opinion. Now we know Yeshua forgave the woman, but we seldom discuss his writing in the dirt, and what was that meaning? Because you know everything in Scripture happens for a reason. So let's read that in John 8, verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one. So what finally occurred to them, since no one accused her, it must have been something that he wrote. Now, I've heard many explanations over the years, but most overlook a scripture from Jeremiah that explains it. You remember, scripture interprets scripture. Jeremiah 17, verse 13, was always read on Hosanna Rabbah in the first century, and because of that, probably listened to a sermon about it. Particularly because Jeremiah speaks about the fountain of living waters, the Mayim Hayim. You know, that ceremony that I spoke about last week. Well, that's done daily during Tabernacles. But a more elaborate ceremony was done on the seventh day, where the people circled the altar seven times instead of once. So let's read what they would have just heard that morning in synagogue. Jeremiah 17:13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Last week, I thoroughly explained this ceremony called the House of the Water Pouring, and it's, of course, up on the webpage. But Yeshua more than likely wrote their names on Hosanna Rabbah in the dirt because it represented them being doomed to the grave. So after that, they did not dare to accuse her. You know, in these often missed nuggets, time and time again, we can see that Yeshua taught the people deep messages of himself, especially during these festivals. These feasts were important for them because God wanted them to be. How much more important for us to learn and to see Jesus in them, and the awesomeness of God to have pre-planned these events so meticulously as a major teaching tool for you. It's so phenomenal to me that we often talk about having to catch our breath whenever we think of all that he has maneuvered so that those who choose to, I say choose, can see him in a deeper, brighter light. Again, this is why knowing your spiritual roots is such a blessing, because you discover the details of God, which truly does increase your faith. So tonight through tomorrow at sundown in Israel closes the official season of Tabernacles, the eighth and extra day of the feast called Shemini Atzeret, meaning the assembly of the eighth day. And also, it's called Simchat Torah, meaning rejoicing in the Torah. Because in Israel, they have two memorials on the eighth day of this feast. But I must tell you, those not living in Israel memorialize Simchat Torah on the ninth day. Why, you wonder? Well, apparently sometime in the 11th century, it was changed for those who live outside of Israel, which is wrong. Because the eighth day is special, according to Scripture, not the ninth. So the 21st day of Tishrei is the seventh and last day for mandatory dwelling in their sukkahs. And the eighth day is a Sabbath day of rest. Besides the regular Sabbath day that comes on Saturday. And also the first day of Sukkot is a Sabbath day as well. So the Jewish people think the extra or the eighth day, well, it's just because it's an extra ending day of this long feast. But if you are saved and know even just a little of your roots, we can also know why God set the eighth day as a special Sabbath as well. Because the first day of Tabernacles is Yeshua's earthly birthday, and the eighth day would be his circumcision. An important date, for it is a typology of the blood covenant that Christ would later fulfill. And circumcisions were always done on the eighth day after birth, because the blood clots more quickly on the eighth day. And by the way, only on the eighth day. And you know why, because vitamin K is at its peak, avoiding hemorrhaging. And today's hospitals give the babies a shot of vitamin K. But still, God gave the orders way before they knew about the clotting and demanded it in his book, actually, Genesis 17:12. And by the way, this is something to use when witnessing to someone who thinks the Bible was just written by man and not inspired. as in so many other facts do as well. So again, Shemini Atzeret means the close of the eighth day and also a Sabbath rest. Simchat Torah means rejoicing in the Torah, and they did. And then they'd begin all over again the weekly Torah readings for the year. And still today, every Saturday, the same sequential reading of the five books of Moses is read all around the world in all the synagogues. So on the eighth day of Tabernacles, called Simchat Torah, they celebrate the finishing of reading the Torah in Deuteronomy 34 and begin all over again in Genesis 1. Reminds them that the Torah is a circle and never ends, which is why it's the eighth day, which means never ending, the number for eternity, as we have already discussed numerous times. Yeshua's number is 8. A quote on a Jewish website says, "On Simchat Torah, we rejoice in the Torah, and the Torah rejoices in us. The Torah, too, wants to dance, so we become the Torah's dancing feet. And while in Israel during this feast, I watched them in their black suits and black hats, literally dancing in the streets, holding the Torah scrolls. It was quite a sight." How fitting, because as Christians, he really does live beside us. Jesus is the Torah. And you know, there's a famous song sung on the eighth day of this feast called Sisu V'Simku, which means, "Let us rejoice together on Simchat Torah and give honor to God's Torah." And you will hear its Hebrew version by closing out the program tonight. And we will begin, and I will see you next week, God willing. Tell someone about Jesus.
Sisu v'simchu b'simchat Torah, utnu kavod la Torah. 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 Sisu v'simchu b'simchat Torah, kavod la Torah. Sisu v'simchu b'simchat Torah, utnu 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 kavod la Torah. Sisu v'simchu.
Thanks for for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.